Today's scripture is James, chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering with hypocrisy. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I delivered in the last time about the first part of the aroma of heart, and I mentioned about gentleness and reasonableness, and I'm going to talk about today mercy and unwavering heart. Luke 18, verses 11 and 12 says, "The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.'" These Pharisees prayed isolated from other people, standing. And he prayed like, thank you that I'm not like them. And then he was telling to God that, you know, I was praying like this. But his prayer couldn't please Father God. He had a heart of, you know, boastfulness and arrogance. He was telling to Father God that, you know, he was doing good. So, whenever we, you know, pray, we have to check our prayers. And we have to humble ourselves. And we have to pray to resemble the heart and love of Father God. Same chapter, verse 13, is the prayer of tax collector. It says, "But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.' I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." As I read this Bible, this part especially, I put it into my heart. The grace, the moment of blessing that we receive in the space of the shepherd, we enjoy it so much. But how we pray to Father God? This tax collector couldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, and he called himself sinners. Am I praying like this tax collector? Father, I didn't commit any, you know, sin leading to death. I tried to live by the word of God, and, you know, I didn't judge or condemn the shepherd in 1998 and 1999. So I think this much is okay. It can be tolerated, right? You have to check whether you pray like this. You have to check whenever you find even a trivial, you know, point of trivial thing of evil attributes, whether you completely in the render your heart in repentance and try to become a fruit of the shepherd. It's not that you shed tears because your sin is grave. You shed tears because you thank for the grace and love that you receive. So you show your shortcomings to Father God and shed tears, because you can find those shortcomings thanks to our shepherd, thanks to our Lord, thanks to our Father God. Whenever we find such things, we have to render our heart in repentance. We should be sorry, but we have to pray to Father God. Father God, I am like this, but I would like to change. This February and March is a very crucial moment. We have to pray more repenting heart. We have to render our heart. We receive so much love from Father God. I have this kind of stuff in my heart. I want to get rid of it. I hope that you can give this kind of beautiful aroma of your heart in your prayer. You have to discover your heart, which didn't help you to find even the smallest deficiency of the body. You know, I do my job very well, so please console my heart. Please praise me. Instead of saying this, you know, I mean, you cannot discover yourself well. I am an unworthy servant. I just did what I was supposed to do, what I was supposed to do. You have to pray, and you have to find yourself. So the aroma of heart which God is pleased with is the heart of mercy. In a spiritual sense, you treasure one soul better than the whole world. Even if there is no hope for, even if there is no hope in one soul, as long as he has life, you should not give up, and you have to help him to receive salvation. Matthew 12, verse 20 says, a battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out, until he leads justice to victory. Our Lord waited and tolerated and endured even a battered reed or smoldering wick. Even though he didn't understand the spiritual message, he waited and continued to explain. He explained the spiritual meanings to his disciples and waited and waited. You know, when the Lord, when our Lord told his disciples to, you know, distribute the bread and fish, you know, his disciples couldn't understand. But our Lord just waited instead of, you know, rebuking them. Matthew 8, verse 2 and 3 says, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from a great distance. You know, many people followed our Lord for 3 days, and they ran out of food. They were about to starve. And, you know, they were away from home like a 3 day distance. So, our Lord had mercy on them. It has been 3 days. They got nothing to eat. So, our Lord worried about whether, and he said, you know, if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And many people around me told me that, you know, as they read this part, they thought of someone. You know, he was preaching the gospel of heaven. But he also worried about the physical condition, fleshly condition. What if they got hungry on their way home? Some of them have come from a great distance. Our mommy members, as you read the Bible, I heard that many of you thought of our senior pastor as you read the Bible and shed tears. As I read this part, I thought of our Lord and thought of our shepherd, because they have so similar, they have so much common in their hearts. Senior pastor always help others, as well as, you know, giving, you know, spiritual things until, you know, they have their problem solved. These two are so much alike. The life of our Lord and the life of our shepherd is so much alike. I believe you receive this kind of grace. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 says, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Our shepherd took care of souls all the time. Not only preached the gospel of salvation, he took care of all the things of this church. In order to have the heart of mercy, you should understand others' position. Just not, you know, having a pity of them. You have to understand their position. You have to put yourself into their shoes. Even if you cannot understand their situation, in your position, if you put yourself in their shoes, you may understand them and forgive them. You know? When you're persecuted by your unbelieving parents or husband or wife, you may have complained. You may become tired and you may be afraid of them. Ah, you know, my husband does not know about spiritual realm. He can understand me. That's why he persecutes me. If you understand your husband's position, then you may have mercy on your husband. There are young people in my parish, great parish. And, you know, many of them have unbelieving parents. But you know what? They humble themselves before their parents and they serve their parents well. You know, I would like to buy something that you like. Is there anything you want me to buy for you? And their parents do not, you know, do not say anything. But, you know, this young man, you know, purchases the good things that he thinks, you know, his parents like and give to them. Later on, his parents change and wait for his son to come home early. You have to put blame on yourself, even for the fact that you are persecuted, and pray for them. And you have to pray to Father God with a heart of mercy, so that Father God would move the heart of your husband or your parents and give you wisdom to deal with your husband. Instead of saying then that they are wrong, if you understand their position, then you may have wisdom. Someone was complaining all the time, giving troubles to others. Not only him, but there are many people who always deceive people with, you know, telling lies, even though, you know, they heard the truth for many years. Instead of thinking, why doesn't he change in the truth? Instead of thinking like this, you have to try to understand his situation. He tries in his position, but he can't. Because even if he wants to do it, you know, he cannot do it. So how much troubled in his heart? He might have been in a hurt while he grew up. If you look at him with this kind of heart, even if he hurts your heart, you may understand him and give him warm heart and affection. You try to do goodness in your brain, but when you cannot keep your heart with truth, then it is you yourself who will feel, somewhat, you know, tough or somewhat, you know, difficult in your heart. You know, you are the one who are in trouble most. So you have to understand their position and try to have a mercy on their position. You know, even if they try to hurt your heart and give troubles to you, you should look at them with the eyes of love. Even if you got some disadvantage, or if you are in an inconvenient in a situation, you have to tolerate them and wait for them. Father, I lived my life diligently, and I prepared the table for my husband and for my children. But I didn't wait well, waiting for my husband. My husband came home, and then he ate together with me. And he said, did my children eat well? So I didn't feel good. I prepared this table for him without eating. But he didn't ask me whether I ate it or not. I was so hurt in my heart. Father, please let me get rid of this kind of heart. I, you know, heard this kind of, you know, cell leader. So I told her to change her prayer. My husband got tired at work and he came home. And while he was, before he eats, you know, he asked whether, you know, his children ate well. And then I was, you know, stressed in my heart without, because he didn't ask me whether I ate it. Father, I am evil. I did wrong. What he did, you know, he only did his job, and he worried about our children. But, you know, I want to be loved by my husband. I only thought about my position, not his. Please forgive me. You have to pray in his shoes. It is true repentance. When you think of his position, then you can find your true self. I told her like this. When you pray, how do you pray? You know, they hurt me. But you know what? I didn't respond. When I didn't pay evil for evil. Instead of paying like this, try to understand others. They try, but they couldn't do it. They are in trouble. In their hearts, let me understand them and forgive me not understanding them before. When you have no mercy on those people, more than, you know, having pity on them, you can have a heart of mercy, and then you can, you know, you can take all kinds of disadvantage for them. Our shepherd treasured just one soul better than the whole world. Even if there are people who disobeyed him in their fleshly thoughts, you know, our shepherd rather, you know, have pity on them. Even though they brought greatest advantage to him, our shepherd rather thankful to Father God, and he prayed for them. And he tried to understand they might have an unavoidable situation. And especially from 2010, he prayed for us, shedding tears for us who lived our life in our own mind and thoughts to give us a chance to receive salvation and to get rid of, you know, fleshly thought and sin and evil. And he sacrificed everything he had to open the way for us to enter Rock of Faith and Spirit. When Father God tells us to have a heart of mercy, we just do a certain part and we think we regard ourselves we're doing good job. When people, you know, poke our hearts, when, you know, some people, you know, brought some difficulties, you know, when we didn't feel, you know, distressed in our heart, we regard that, you know, we are doing a good job. However, what Father God wants from us is our heart, the heart of dealing others, treasuring them better than the whole world. You know, one day, there was a man who came into spirit, and he didn't feel hurt in his heart when others, you know, bring trouble to his heart. And he thought he was doing okay. But in during his prayer, you know, he understood the heart of Father God. Father God asked him, you know, whether he was, you know, treating his soul more than the whole world. No, we now have a new principle in Sunday school. And she testified that, you know, as I look at the children, you know, I have great mercy on them. It grew bigger. Someone told her that, you know, if there are, you know, children who bring troubles to you, tell me, I will take care of it. But, you know, she said, the principal said, there are no, you know, troublesome children. You know, I have only children who can change. Even though you try to deal them in goodness, if you don't change your heart, your attitude cannot change. But if you look at them with faith and hope and deal with deal with them in this kind of thought, and they will surely change. If someone is hurt, then you should treasure him, treasure her more, and try to understand, try to console his or her in a hurt heart. Now, you speak the words of warmth, but you don't show the actual deeds. Oh, really? Wow, I feel sorry for you. You give this kind of words, but you know what? You don't show your actual heart to them. Do you speak the words of warmth? Why? Because you want to be sanctified. You want to hide the uneasy feeling in your heart. My husband is so willing, and he loves Father God so much. He does his job well. But you know what? At home, he is kind of a little bit stubborn at home. Which means, the husband is, her husband giving her some trouble. That's what she wanted to say, right? So, you have to look at yourself, whether you truly, take care of others, deal with them, and treat them better than the whole world. You have to check yourself whether you are speaking, whether you are doing it only with your lips or along with your heart. Senior pastor deals with everyone like this. Someone who comes to him to repent, someone who comes to him to talk about business or church affair, he always takes care of them. Those who met senior pastor always says like this, They say, senior pastor even tried to shake hands with my children, who sat quite far from him. And he asked how we were doing. We go to senior pastor's room to have a lunch. When senior pastor has a lunch time, along with Pastor Mi-kyung Lee, even though he lost his energy, he comes out to see us off. When he was pastor, he always, when he started his church, he, shook hands with every member of the church and welcomed them and see them off. But he cannot do it anymore because, we have so many members. But whenever he has a meeting in his office, whether they are from, guests from other countries or our church members, he always waits for them in front of his door. And he always organizes even the tissue in a restroom, as if, they were staying in a five-star hotel. Senior pastor is dealing with people all the time like this, treating them as if they were better than the whole world, and help them, and tell them, do not think of the world, but go to New Jerusalem with me. We have to have this kind of heart of mercy. Someone said, this man, said like this. He couldn't pay attention to others. He doesn't pay attention to others. And he always forget what others said. So there was someone. And someone who was sitting, who was, close to him. And he said, as he was, studying him, he was thankful because he was not like his friend. But he saw in a senior pastor, and then he saw the people of Holy Spirit who are dealing with other people, who try to explain even the very small detailed things, even if they don't seem to understand it well. He regarded himself doing a good job, not, you know, thinking of others troublesome. But people of the Holy Spirit always try to explain in great detail to them, even if they can understand well. And he realized that, I have to become like them to take care of souls with that kind of attitude and heart. When you, you know, when senior pastor visits you, if you imagine senior pastor visiting you, then how well would you treat him? You have to deal with everybody as if you deal with senior pastor. You have to have this kind of heart and thinking of others' position and try to see how you're going to deal with them. It is the same with, you know, when you're, you know, disciplining other people. You shouldn't discipline others with some kind of ill feelings against them. Because if you're arrogant, you try to teach them, try to, you know, stick to your own idea. When you give approach, reproach, or advice, when people say, you know, okay, thank you, I will do it as you advised me. But there are other people, you know, what you say is not right, you know. It's, you know, I don't need to think of your advice. It's useless. When you hear them saying like this, were you hurt in your heart? And your pride hurt? Then you have to change yourself. But when they're doing something wrong, you have to severely rebuke them. But heart of, you know, love and mercy. Instead of, you know, I mean, but many of you do not give an advice to them, even if they are doing something wrong, because you don't want to have peace broken between you and them. You have to give a stern advice. Now you have to, you know, reproach others with a heart of mercy to help them to come to change themselves. While I was preparing this message, I remember when I was a elementary school, that there was a letter from, you know, my teacher, and then there was some, you know, kind of a great card. And then I remember that my teacher wrote that, you know, please discipline her with love. With love. I couldn't understand that kind of words, like a discipline and a punishment. And then the senior pastor said, you know, because you did something wrong, you should be punished or you should be spanked. That's what it means. The senior pastor explained it to me. And then he opened the Bible, and then he opened the punishment and discipline like this in the Bible. He explained to me. And then on my way to school, I mean, when I was preparing this message, I remembered those days. You know, even if, you know, my daughter is doing something wrong, please, you know, take care of my daughter well. Please, you know, help my, you know, child well. Instead, you know, he wrote back to, you know, my teacher that, you know, please, thank you, and please, you know, discipline my daughter well. Ephesians 6:4 says, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. When we were young, there were things that we couldn't understand. But when we did something wrong and when we received punishment for that, we were sorry and we decided not to do it again. But as we grew up, you know, sometimes, even if we did something wrong, we were not punished by our, you know, parents. But in other times, we were punished. But you know what? In my case, whenever I did something wrong, I was punished. Whenever I did something good, I was praised. So it was obvious and very clear that I should do what I was told to do, and I shouldn't do what I was told not to do. There was nothing I couldn't understand because Senior Pastor explained in great detail. When he was clear wrongdoing, then I was punished and I was so sorry and I made up my mind never do it again. And I should never be punished by my father again. I had this kind of heart when I was punished. Dear brothers and sisters, heart of mercy is not the heart of pity. You have to do it with deeds and truth. And moreover, you have to do it with the heart of, you know, taking care of the soul better than the whole world. You shouldn't just say, you know, this is enough. You have to rather believe and wait and have hope and try to save the souls. You have to deal others as if you deal with yourself. And you have to deal them with the heart of our Father God and of the Lord. The aroma of a heart which God is pleased with is, the second, the heart that is unwavering without hypocrisy. When you don't have, you know, unwavering heart, you can, you know, deal with things in justice and honesty. Or to look at things in justice, first of all, you have to have a heart of mercy. If you don't have love and mercy, even if you learn many words of Father God, you cannot apply that words to many situations. Because you will be biased according to your favor or your own self-righteousness and frameworks. So, your wavering heart will result in judgment and condemnation, and it will distort the truth. Pharisees and scribes in the days of our Lord, they took pride because they thought they were, you know, they were abiding the law of God, and they were teaching the word of God to people. Father God, I'm thank you so much. You know, thank you so much. You know, Jesus healed so many people who were blind, and they came to see. You know what? They didn't think like this. They rather judged our Lord when our Lord healed the people on Sabbath day, because they thought the people should not do anything on Sabbath day. You know, it is a good deed to heal, you know, a sick people on Sabbath day. But, you know, they had a wavering heart. So they thought our Lord did something wrong. Okay, keeping the Sabbath day is not just doing nothing. It is taking spiritual rest. However, healing the sick people, preaching the gospel, or saving souls, is a deed of goodness, and this is not a certain kind of labor to earn money. These are what you should do even on Sabbath. But because Pharisees and scribes had, you know, wavering heart, they judged our Lord, you know, committing the Sabbath day, and then they thought, you know, our Lord, you know, stood against our God. And they had that kind of, you know, wrong conclusion. They knew the word of God well, but they interpreted the word of God literally, so they didn't have wisdom to apply those words to their lives. They knew the word of God in their heart, but they didn't put it in their heart and put that into practice. Many people hear the message and they receive grace and they shed tears, but that's not it. You have to make an effort till the end, until you get rid of your sinful attributes such as in hatred, hot temper, envy, jealousy, greed, judgment and condemnation and arrogance from your heart. When you have an untruth, you know, I mean, Pharisees and scribes have this kind of an envy and jealousy in their heart. They want to be loved by others. But, you know what? Jesus was loved by people, by so many people. So, they were envious of our Lord. They were jealous of our Lord. So, they had this kind of wavering heart. Now, they had their own standard. So, according to their standard, they, you know, judged others. So, you have to remember the word of God and what kind of standard you have. You know, the standard should be the Bible, the word of God. If you are faithful, it must be the faithfulness according to the word of God, instead of your own standard. So, you know, when we have in the field games, when someone says, You know, when someone is set as a standard, then they have to stand in lines according to that standard. So, our Lord is that standard. The Word of God is that standard. But if you, you know what? If you set standard on yourself, then it cannot be right or truth. You, if you have some, you know, some bright, you know, attitude, you like people who have, you know, same bright attitude. Those, you know, who have some gloomy faces, you don't like them. Which means you have your wrong standard of your own. Only our Lord and the Word of God should be the standard. So many people have come into Rock of Faith in the Spirit. Many pastors, many workers in my parish came into Spirit and Rock of Faith. I asked them and I learned from them too. They always say the standard was the shepherd. The love of the shepherd was so great. Someone said like this, man of spirit said, you know, I came into spirit only thanks to the love of the shepherd. But, you know, I couldn't understand him. Why? But he later felt the love of the shepherd while he was praying. After that, because of that love, he shed tears and he found himself standing on the rock of faith. While, you know, she was, you know, shedding tears, you know, standard the shepherd, and you know, thinking of the shepherd, you know, she discovered her and the evil attributes were so grave, and she found, you know, so many shortcomings. And she tried so hard to get rid of them, but she couldn't do it. But whenever she thought of the love and the sacrifice of the shepherd, she was able to repent, shedding tears. But it was not difficult. It was so easy. She was able to do it with ease. She found herself standing on the rock of faith with the heart of mercy. People have wavering heart. So they bring out in the false of the wrongdoings. Say they were brothers. Parents asked them, why do you fight? Then the elder brother said, you know, he hit me first. Then parents should ask the younger brother. Then the younger brother should say, he took my toy, that's why I hit him. If you hear them both, then you can see the elder brother did wrong first. But if you don't listen to your the younger son, when your elder son said, you know, he hit me first, and if you rebuke your younger son, then you have wavering heart. Now, why didn't you ask your younger son? Because you like your elder son better than your younger son. You have wavering heart. You are biased. You know what? You would feel it is unfair if you are in this kind of situation. So it is very important to listen to both of them. Try not to have in a wavering heart. If you regard your elder son says is right, then it's not right. When A and when some people have in a different ideas, you have to look at them both. You have to listen to them both. Those who have unwavering heart will listen to them both and try to come to draw the right conclusion. Whenever there was something to eat, you know, a senior pastor hid it. But you know what? His sister discovered it and ate it for herself. And senior pastor cried, and he fought with her, you know, his sister. And his mother, you know, so my grandmother said, you know, why did you fight with your sister? And, you know, I mean, and, you know, grandmother took side for, you know, his sister. And then rebuked in a senior pastor. You know, whenever I heard it, I tried to think what kind of, you know, heart in a senior pastor had. Senior pastor once explained like this. My mother had a heart of goodness, but she didn't know the truth. That's why she had this kind of wavering heart. Later, you know, senior pastor you know, grew up and asked his sister. Well, after he grew up and after he knew the truth, senior pastor was, you know, punished by, you know, his mother, he made up his mind that I will not be biased, you know, after I grow up. I will listen to both sides and try to draw the right conclusion. And he does it all the time. In his life, he always listens to both. And until he listens to both, you know, he does not draw a conclusion. He waits. He listens to both, and then he comes to a right conclusion. Now, you have to make up your mind to listen to both, just as our senior pastor did. Our grown-ups distort the truth according to their favor, because they have wavering heart. Sometimes they tell a lie. Let's say, your beloved one did something wrong. Then you think to yourself, you know what? It's not right. He must have some kind of reason to do so. But you know what? If it was someone that you didn't like so much and he did something wrong, or you heard that someone says, you know, he did something wrong, then you may think like this. You know what? See? He is wrong. Now, that's why he did that something wrong. You know, that's why I didn't like him at first. You have this kind of heart. You have to check your heart whether you have this kind of heart or not. Just because you have favor on him or her, and you have, you know, biased heart, no. You should have unwavering heart, and listen to both. Here is another example. Someone didn't make eye contact with you. The senior pastor always had this kind of, you know, example. If you don't have love for that person, you may have, you know, some wrong idea. Because I didn't do him a favor, you know, he didn't have, you know, good feelings from me. That's why he didn't make eye contact. You make judgment. If you have to check whether you have this kind of heart. You know, judging, condemning, criticizing, it is well mentioned in the four Gospels in the Bible. You have to check until you completely get rid of such a heart of, you know, judgment and condemnation. You have to check yourself all the time. You have to check whether you try to, you know, discern or judge people according to your own idea. Then, you cannot listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When you have to make a choice, if it is something that you want to get, then you will have a wavering heart. Now, your senior, you can see, you know, some, you know, people who ask a question to get what they want. They want to confirm their idea is right according to your answer. You know, there are many members that, you know, what happens is, you want to hear others saying that your idea is right, and you keep asking people until there is someone that agrees with your idea. There was someone. He tried to quit his job, but, you know, his wife didn't like the idea. So he came to a pastor, and he said like this, I don't have any vision at my work, you know, and, you know, I don't have any talent for that current job. And it is difficult to manage a good believing life with that kind of job. But I have an idea for a business. And that business has a vision. And with that business, I can manage my business well. I can manage my believing life well. What should I do? Then, you know, a pastor cannot give him the right question. So the pastor says, well, according to what you said, you know, the business may have a vision, and then it can be quite a stable business to help you do your business well, according to what you say. Well, so then it may be okay. But do not make quick decision. Consider many situations and hear from others and pray and be guided by God. You know, this pastor just repeated what he said. But then, you know, he ran to, you know, his wife said, you know what? I asked the pastor, and then the pastor said, since that job has a vision, you know, she said it's okay to run the business after I quit my job. And then she said, you know, start your business quick. So please, pray for my business. This husband is lying to her, his wife. Pastor, I don't have nothing against those in the nine standards. Now, am I standing on the rock of faith or not? What should I say? He says, you know, he has nothing against, you know, he says nothing against those in the nine standards. Well, you may not have been able to find something against the nine standards, so you have to pray. But you know what? He went back home and he said, you know what? My pastor said, you know, I'm standing on the rock of faith. And then his daughter said, you know, later, you know, parish pastor said, and he's standing on the rock of faith, but you know, according to the measure of faith, and he's not standing on the rock of faith. Later, I explained. He said he had nothing against the nine standards. So I said, if you have nothing against the nine, those nine standards, then you may stand on the rock of faith. But you have to check. That's what I said. Likewise, you distort the truth to listen to what you want to hear, but you don't realize it. You pay just attention to what you want to hear, so you distort the truth. So dear brothers and sisters, 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. You should be able to discern others' heart according to the truth, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then you will not discern anything by evilness. So you can read the truth, not the false. And you should have unwavering heart. And you have to think, what is the will of God? You should not apply your own standard to others. You should not force others to apply to your inner standard. You should be able to discern well according to truth. Well, if you have some wavering heart, there are levels, four different levels. While I was managing my believing life, I sometimes feel that, you know, our members of this church try to put people into two categories, spirit or flesh. But you know what? They rather try to put those people into people who understand their own standard and others who are not. You know, I like to be quiet, but you know what? He is talkative, so I don't like him. I don't think he is, you know, he is flat. I don't think he is spirit. They think like this. You have to find it and repent. Father God searches people's heart. And Father God searches whether they got rid of evil or sinful attributes. But you know what? You judge those people according to your own standard, not by the standard of our Father God. Well, you know what? That is something not in accordance with my own idea. So I don't think he is in a spirit. Well, whenever you discover this kind of stuff, you have to repent. You used to speak out. But you don't speak out because you want to receive your measure of your faith. But you know what? That's not right. You have to know that you used to speak out. You used to talk about what you think in your heart, what you thought in your heart. But you don't, you know, say it out loud now because you are afraid of, you know, receiving a low level of faith. So you should find it. You have to repent. You are, you know, judging the people so easily like this, but you don't realize you are judging people. Even if they have some shortcomings, even if they have some things that are not in accordance with your own stuff, you should be able to understand them instead of, you know, judging them or condemning them. You have to understand them, you have to love them, and you have to wait for them. In order to have the heart that is unwavering without hypocrisy, you should remember that it is wavering in the truth if you are partial even to the weak. Okay? You have to think about this. You should not be partial even to the weak, because, you know, most people tend to take sides for the weak. Exodus 23 verse 3 says, "Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute." When there is the strong and the weak, people usually take sides for the weak, and they think it is righteous. If they take sides for the strong, or, you know, they think it is unjust. So they think it is right to take sides for the weak. But you know what? You should not be partial. You have to discern the things according to the truth. Which one is the truth? Which one is goodness? You have to discern things like this. Father God is not biased. He is not partial. He always judges correctly. But He does it with the eyes of love and mercy. And Father God wants to do the same. Now there is one who is stubborn and who is, you know, gentle. Then, in most cases, you take sides for the who speaks, you know, gentle voice. You easily think the one who speaks loud is, you know, wrong, because, you know, he speaks, you know, harsh language. You know what? He may feel, you know, unfair, and that's why he speaks loud. But you know what? You don't think about their situation according to the truth. You just try to take sides for the weak. So you take sides for the people who speak gently. You know, we, you know, make report every week, every day. Someone had some financial trouble, so we visited them. You know what? He shed tears. You know what? I am serving my, you know, my mother. My old mother. I serve my old mother. And then this pastor took sides for this man. So he made a good report. You know what? This man is good because, you know, he is serving, you know, his old mother. Of course, he is serving his old mother, who is very old, alone, widow. But you know what? He didn't pay what he borrowed from his friends. So the pastor should write the correct report. But you know what? This pastor took sides for him because, you know, he was, you know, touched only by the fact that he was serving his old mother. Because they are weak. Because they, you know, are, you know, because they are weak, you know, I took sides for them. You have to check whether you have this kind of attitude. Someone looks tough, someone speaks in a harsh language, then you already judge them, and they are not right. Well, instead, you have to pray, and you have to ask God, which one is right according to the truth. It should be like this. So you have to step back in this kind of case and try to find the correct will of Father God and pray. In order to have the heart that is unwavering without hypocrisy, second, you should not pass judgment by others' words if it is not what you saw and heard by yourself. If you have like a prejudice or if you have some wavering heart, then even if you don't have such things, unless it is something you directly see or hear, you cannot make correct in a judgment. So you have to know this kind of situation, so you shouldn't judge from the first. And if you listen to others and judge him or her, then you may make a great mistake. Whenever I think of the people of the Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful. Because, you know, whenever there is an incident, they don't regard it some unavoidable situation. They try to listen to both sides all the time and check and try to correctly discern the situation and try to give advice to both of them. So I hope you can check yourself too, whether you listen to both sides and try to correct the discernment. To be like this, you should not make an input of what you hear from others, unless you hear from the actual people. And then if it is a rumor, then you don't need to listen to that. And you have to listen to them both, the actual people who are involved in an incident. Senior pastor never listens to just one side. Whenever he received the report about others' wrongdoings, he always listened to the one who was reported to do something wrong. And because what happened was, what happened may not be correctly reported on the report. So he always listened to the both. And even though someone made a mistake, he tries to cover the fault and waits by faith until he changes. And he prays for them. We should have this kind of heart. You should know how many times you judge and condemn others with a wavering heart. You have to look at people with the heart of mercy, with unwavering heart, because they are the fruits of our senior pastors, tears. Thousands of people are coming into Rock of Faith and hundreds of people come into Spirit. You have to listen to them, you have to learn from them. But if you try to discern them with your own standard, if you try to judge them, if you don't speak out, you just have that kind of idea in your heart. It is so evil. One of the things that I am thankful to Father God is that, when Father God says someone is spiritual, when someone is a man of spirit, I like him very much. As I think of his days, how many tears he must have shed. But you know what? After I read the four Gospels in the Bible, I couldn't say, I got rid of them well, judging and condemning others. Sometimes, I think he has this kind of personality, so I think he is slow to come into Rock of Faith. I have this kind of thought from time to time. But you know what? Coming into Spirit and coming into Rock of Spirit has nothing to do with the personality. It depends on his heart, the heart the Father God searches for. Because of his personality, it's not easy for him to stand on the Rock of Faith. It was a judgment. By the grace of God, he can stand on the Rock of Faith easily. Father God is the only one who searches the heart of people, and He knows everything. Someone is falling asleep during the prayers all the time, but one day he may understand the heart of the shepherd and love of the shepherd, and he may change overnight. But, you know, so nowadays, even though there are people who are not standing on the rock of faith, even though they don't understand themselves well, you know, I wait for them because I have no idea when they will change anytime, because senior pastor is waiting for them. So I treasure them. Every one of them is like a treasure to me. So that's why I thought to myself that I didn't get rid of judgment and condemnation in my heart. I should believe in everybody. I should treasure them all the time. Then I can say that I got rid of the judgment and condemnation from my heart. I should believe that they can be changed anytime by the sacrifice and tears of the shepherd. Even I have to become the links between them and the shepherd. We receive great grace from Father God. And we have to wait for them, whether they are about to receive that kind of, you know, grace. In order to have the heart of unwavering without hypocrisy, you should thirdly cast off ill feeling and selfish motives. You apply some gentle standard to those you like. But if there are people that you are not so close to, then you try to apply strict standard. This is wavering heart. This is, you know, selfish motives. Your child and neighbor's child fought each other. You didn't think of what your child did. You were just, you know, you got upset because your child was hurt during the fight. First of all, without judging or condemning, you have to correctly discern the situation. You have to first see whether neighbor child was hurt. So you have to check your heart, what kind of heart you had when those, you know, two children had fight. And you have to deal with others as if you look at those two children, whether you are making judgment or condemnation of people. So no matter what you say, no matter what you have in your mind, if you have some greed or selfish motives or a wavering heart, then you have to look at yourself and you have to repent and turn back once again. Whether you have selfish motives, whether you have wavering heart, you have to look back all the time. Do you have children? You may be partial to one than the other. See? That's why I love you. When your favorite child did something good. I once said to someone that you have to deal with your children. You have to love them both equally. Well, okay, Pastor, I will do it. But you know what? You know what? My second child is always, you know, does a good job. But you know what? The first one has too many responsibilities. So because of that responsibility, you know, he became, you know, so quiet. You know what? I thought of my situation. You know, I had the least in the responsibility in my family. So, but you know, my sisters, you know, my sister, my sister suffered from many kind of, you know, responsibilities, but which I didn't have. So, you know, I always, you know, beloved by my father more. So I thought about that, you know, I, you know, asked her to treat your children both well. Of course, it's okay to think of in the good points, but you have to, you should not be biased when you think of your children. What if a member of family receive a measure of faith? You know what? My husband, my child, you know, is managing their life, living life like this, and then they, you know, he or she received this kind of measure of faith. Well, just as you are pleased whenever your family member receives a measure of faith, when a member of your group receives a measure of faith, you should be glad. I heard that whole cell members, you know, shed tears and they were so glad, they were so happy to have a member in their cell receive a measure of faith. You should be happy whenever there is a man of spirit around you. And you should try to learn from him or her. You know, there is a family. You know, my son, my daughter-in-law, and my son-in-law, you know, they receive this kind of measure of faith and they are changing themselves well. She doesn't know about anything about faith, but she knows well about the percentage of their, you know, family members in a measure of faith. You are so happy with your family members. But you know what? You should be happier when a member of in your cell or your group receive that kind of measure of faith. You should be glad together. Oh, you know what? I cannot understand why, you know, he or she received that kind of measure of faith. If you have this kind of mind in the past, you have to repent. You have to find what it was. You have to understand that you had great, you know, you judge them, you condemn them all the time. You know what? A member got the measure of faith. I'm so happy. Well, it was only outward deed. He thought if he had said so, he could have received his own in the measure of faith. But he didn't. And he said, you know what? I had this kind of arrogance, I think. Because he realized that, you know, he judged and condemned other people like this. Whole cells, whole sub-district, whole districts should be happy, should be joyful when a member in a district or cell or group receives a measure of faith. You know, our shepherd loves us so much. And if you put that love in your heart and understand the truth, then you have to love them. You have to be desperate as well. So, please check your heart. So whenever it is something to those who are close to you, you have to try to discern it better. More according to the truth. From time to time, you are in a position to show yourself to others, then you have to do self-control. Because you may think you may accomplish the righteousness of your heart, and you may think a certain level is okay, you did something enough. But whatever you do may seem, you know, selfish righteousness, self-righteousness and self-motives to others. So, you should be wise enough not to look like this to others. As I read Acts and Romans, and read the letters of Apostle Paul, I thought of many things. Apostle Paul gave everything for his souls. There was a page that, you know, Apostle Paul began his speaking. I mean, while I was reading the Bible, you know, I was just busy, you know, checking myself whether I didn't correct myself according to the Bible. But you know what? As I kept, you know, reading the Bible, I think of the life of Apostle Paul, and I compared his life to the life of the shepherd. One day when I prayed, a couple of years ago, Father God, I'm so thankful to be able to discover and get rid of it. And then I repented it last year. I had to repent. Even though he gave everything he got for the souls, he was rather sorry not being able to give more. That was the life of Apostle Paul. But I pray that, you know, to Father God, you know, Father God, thank you for getting rid of this. I realized that it was very selfish. You should be able to confess that there was nothing I did. It was all by the grace of the Lord. Instead of saying, it's enough, you know, I deserve to enjoy now. Instead of saying this, even if you can, just as 12 disciples of the Lord, after they witnessed the resurrection of the Lord, they sacrificed their lives. Just as Apostle Paul sacrificed himself, devoted himself for the Lord, you should be able to do so from the heart. Let me conclude this message. As I read the four Gospels, as I read the Mary Magdalene's birth, I remember the days that I went to a pilgrimage trip. I visited many places, I listened to a guide, and Pastor Heejin Lee explained spiritual meaning. Mary Magdalene and how Mary Magdalene felt when our Lord was crucified. And Pastor Heejin Lee saw the Mary Magdalene on her way home after our Lord was crucified. She had no idea. Mary Magdalene helped the Virgin Mary on their way home, right? She couldn't feel anything. That kind of heart, you know, she went home. You know, that's what Pastor Heejin Lee saw. And I remember what she said while I was reading the four Gospels. What if Mary Magdalene had been in this church? You know, what kind of life she have lived? I thought she would live her life with tears every day. There was a cell leader, and after the during the devotional service, she was able to see something she couldn't see before. She was even able to see the skin, face of the shepherd. And she could even hear the breath of the shepherd. And she cannot forget the breath and the skin of the shepherd while she is praying. And she repented of not circumcising her heart. I believe you are the same. You now realize that, and you are touched, that even though you are not chained, our shepherd prayed for you. On the Sabbath day, and after the Sabbath day, Mary Magdalene went to our Lord's tomb. On the first day, dawn, you know, she went to our Lord's tomb very early in the morning. In four Gospels, you know, when our Mary Magdalene went to the tomb where, you know, our Lord was buried after the Sabbath day. And I thought of the moment when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. At dawn, very early in the morning, when it was dark. After Sabbath, I don't think she slept. She stayed up all night thinking of the Lord. She didn't think of the resurrection. She just wanted to see the Lord before his tomb. She waited without sleeping because she couldn't go there on Sabbath day. So she waited without sleeping and she went to the tomb. And she was weeping outside the tomb. And later, while she was crying, she looked into the tomb, kneeling down. It is written in the Bible. I think it tells us what kind of heart we should have as we pray. Sometimes I think to myself, the ranks, spirit, whole spirit, well, I dare the thought of being a spirit or whole spirit. Of course, I learned many things from the shepherd, and there were standards that I thought it was right, that were right. And I shed tears, and I prayed in tears. However, in 2013 and 2014, I realized it is not right. Our shepherd sacrificed everything, and it is right to change everything in me and remove everything in me and to become more perfect. Only because the blood of the Lord is for everybody. Just as the sacrifice and tears of the shepherd is for everybody. Whenever I visit people, they always say, I remember the tough in the breath and his harsh in the voice. I remember. They always confess like this. I believe that was the heart of Mary Magdalene while in our Lord was hanging on the cross. Why are you there? I am the one who was supposed to be on the cross. And she stood up all night without sleeping. When it was dark, he went to the tomb of the Lord. She was desperate. Pastor, you know what? It's possible I don't sleep for a day, for a night. But you know, I have to. Does that mean that I have to stand up all night for two months? Well, even though it is 2 months for you, our shepherd stood up all night for many months, for many years, thinking of the promise of our Father God to help us escape from sin and evil. Thinking of Him, we should not have wavering heart without hypocrisy. We have to try to learn and resemble the heart of the Lord. We should not be satisfied with what we are now, thinking of the grace that we receive now. A pastor said to me like this, as I look at the new selected pastors, they looked like, you know, they received great love. They're very confident. They look very confident. Well, they're not the only those who receive great love. We received even greater love. But they were different because they put their love in their heart and they tried to change themselves. Unlike us. For years, they remember the love that they received and they changed themselves. It's our turn now. Just as Mary Magdalene didn't sleep and went to the tomb of the Lord after the Sabbath day, we have to be like her. We have to pray like her. We have to resemble the heart of the Lord, having mercy on others, have unwavering heart for others. Instead, we have to discern the things according to the truth of Father God. Let's think over the message and pray together. Let's receive senior pastor's prayer for the sake on the screen. Lay your hands on the sick part of your body. If you are not sick, lay your hands on your chest for the desires of your heart. 할렐루야, Almighty God, our Father of love. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend space and time on those who are receiving this prayer through satellites, on the internet, and on GCN, in branch churches all around the world, as well as in local sanctuaries. Give them the faith to believe and drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerve tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and with the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases and germs and viruses and infirmities, go away. May the light come. Father, scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit and drive away all endemic diseases such as malaria. All contagious diseases such as cold, flu, fever, go away. Father, protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. And heal them of stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, uterine cancer, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid diseases, heart diseases, lung diseases, women's diseases, and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains, go away. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases, go away. All kinds of paralysis, be loosened. Get up, walk, and live. Father, let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, let the deaf come to hear, and let the mute come to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents and fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away and let there be no skull left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated and bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. May you receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, the ruler of the air, and the evil forces of darkness, go away, and their servants also go away. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, false and deceiving spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness, go away. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, you go away. May the light come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and the power to cast off sins and to become sanctified. As their soul prosper, let all things go well with them and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the firewall of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their family, workplace, and business. Give our students wisdom and understanding and give them fervor and passion to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from the worldly things and let them love Father God all the more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or whatever they may do, let them do it all for the glory of Father God. Let them say, I met God, I experienced God, I received His answers and blessings. Let them testify like this. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.